and Allah have women about it. Wala tabarrajna tabarrujal jahiliyyat al-ula. And women like these, they will be receiving messages, text messages, WhatsApp messages, Instagram messages, TikTok messages from men, telling them you are fine, you are beautiful, you are excellent, and they are glad with it. These kinds of women, فَلَا تَسْأَلْ عَنْهُنَّ. Don't bother to ask about them. They are on severe evil. May Allah protect us. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about another three. He says, وَثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُسْأَلْ عَنْهُمْ. Another three amongst the groups of people. Don't bother to ask. When you say, oh, so-so person, don't bother. He's coming here. May Allah protect us all. رَجُلٌ نَازَعَ اللَّهَ رِدَاءَهُ فَإِنَّ رِدَاءَهُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ وَإِزَارَهُ عِزَّهُ. The Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, رَجُلٌ نَازَعَ اللَّهَ رِدَاءَهُ. A man who is contesting Allah's garments with him. Who is that? That is mutakabbir. He says, فَإِنَّ رِدَاءَهُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ. The garment of Allah is his kibriya. Allah is absolutely high and above all things. So he's the only one who has a right to claim highness, to claim sublimity, to claim supremacy, to claim exaltedness over the rest of us. To be exalted, to be sublime, the supreme. These are attributes of Allah over the rest of the creation. If you, as a created being, you want to do this over the rest of human beings, you will fail. Because the one who has the right to that is who? Allah. Like we mentioned in class yesterday, Allah is Al-Qayyum. Al-Qayyum, the one that every other thing depends on. And he's not dependent on anybody. Subhanahu. So if you want to be like this amongst human beings, you will fail and Allah will disgrace the individual. This is from the way of the people of Al-Baghyu. That is why Al-Bukhari has mentioned this hadith under this chapter. Those who have al-baghyu, who oppress others, they feel a false sense of supremacy. They feel a false sense of audacity over the rest of the people. That is why al-Bukhari has mentioned this hadith under that chapter heading. The first hadith will be coming to today, inshallah, is hadith 591. Where Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, said, حَدَّثَنَا حَامِدُ إِبْنُ عُمَرُ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا بَكَّارُ إِبْنُ عَبْدِ الْعَزِيزِ عَنْ أَبِيهِ عَنْ جَدِّهِ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ كُلُّ ذُنُوبٍ يُؤَخِّرُ اللَّهُ مِنْهَا مَا شَاءَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَّا الْبَغْيَ وعقوق الوالدين أو قطيعة الرحم يعجل لصاحبها في الدنيا قبل الموت كل ذنوب يؤخر الله منها ما شاء إلى يوم القيامة إلا البغي وعقوق الوالدين أو قطيعة الرحم يعجل لصاحبها الدنيا قبل الموت. الإمام البخاري reported this hadith from his Shaykh Hamid ibn Umar. Hamid ibn Umar ibn Hafs Abu Abd al-Rahman al-Basri rahimahullah is the Shaykh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this isnad. He is reporting from his own Shaykh Bakar ibn Abdul Aziz. Bakar ibn Abdul Aziz, he is Abu Bakra al-Basri. Abu Bakra al-Basri. Abu Bakr al-Basri Bakr ibn Abdul Aziz is a weak reporter of hadith. So ordinarily, this hadith should be daif. But this hadith is corroborated by another hadith, hadith number 29 in our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Hadith number 29 has the exact meaning of this hadith, and it was also reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam by Abu Bakr. Nufayr ibn al-Harith, the reporter of hadith 591 amongst the companions, he was Abu Bakr. Nufayr ibn al-Harith, he was the one who also reported hadith 29. But the isnad, the chain of report of hadith 29 is sahih. So it serves as a corroborating evidence for hadith 591. Likewise, there's a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. It's also very close to our hadith in its meaning. So we say that even though this isnad has Bakr ibn Abdul Aziz, Abu Bakr al-Basri, who is a weak reporter of hadith, this hadith al al-aqal yakunu hasanan, very in the least of it, hadith will be hasanan, to be hasan, to be sound, bi-idhnillah. Bakr ibn Abdul Aziz, Abu Bakr, that we have mentioned to be a weak reporter of hadith. He reported that hadith from his father, Abdul Aziz ibn Abi Bakr. Abu Bakr himself, Nufay ibn al-Harith, was the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had a lot of children. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith, Allah blessed him with a lot of children, about 15 male children. And all his children became from the scholars of Islam. One of them is Abdul Aziz, who has reported this hadith from him. So this hadith, An Abihi, Bakr ibn Abdul Aziz, An Abihi, Abdul Aziz ibn Abi Bakr. Abu Bakr is their grandfather, so he is the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his name is Nufay ibn al-Harith. Abu Bakr is popular with one hadith. That hadith, we know it a lot. And the hadith where the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a group of people will not succeed, wallaw amrahum imra'atan, a group of people will not be upon success when they make their head to be a woman. If a group of people make their head, their ruler, their president, their governor to be a woman, they will not succeed. That hadith was reported by Abu Bakr, Nufay ibn al-Harith. And it's a hadith in As-Sahih. The hadith is Sahih. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the one who reports the hadith today, hadith 591, from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was reported from him by his own son, Abdul Aziz. It was reported from Abdul Aziz by his own son, Bakr. So that was why Bakr said, Bakr ibn Abdul Aziz, Bakr said, An Abihi and Jaddihi, yani An Abi and Jaddi. Bakr reported it from his father Abdul Aziz, who reported it from his own father Abu Bakr, that the Prophet said, Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Kullu dhunub aw kullu dhunubin. The hadith says, Kullu dhunubin يُؤَخِّرُ اللَّهُ مِنْهَا مَا شَاءَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ كُلُّ ذُنُوبٍ يُؤَخِّرُ اللَّهُ مِنْهَا Masha'a ila yawm al-qiyamah. Every sin, yu'akhirullahu minha masha'a ila yawm al-qiyamah. Allah will postpone, Allah will delay whatever he likes from sins until the day of Qiyamah. Somebody commits a sin today, Allah can leave him till the day of Qiyamah before paying him back. Because you know the day of Qiyamah is Yawmuddin. The meaning of Yawmuddin is the day of payback. When we say Maliki Yawmuddin. The day of Deen, Yawmuddin, we recite every day in Al-Fatiha, is that that day is the day of recompense. Allah will pay you back whatever you did. If a person commits a sin, you ask him, Allah minha ma sha'a ila yawm al-qiyamah. Allah can delay whatever he wills until the day of Qiyamah. He will not punish him in this dunya. He will leave him waiting. Maybe he will repent. Maybe he repents. Allah will leave the individual. Even if he does not repent, Allah can leave him till the day of Qiyamah. إِلَّا الْبَغْيَا وَعُقُوقَ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, except al-baghi, oppression. Allah will not leave it till the day of Qiyamah. The oppressor will get his reward for oppression right here in this dunya. He said, كُلُّ ذُنُوبٍ يُؤَخِّرُ اللَّهُ مِنْهَا مَا شَاءَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَّا الْبَغْيَا, except oppression. So if you like to oppress people, if you like to be aggressive against the people, if you punish people beyond their errors, if you usurp the rights of people thinking that you are a powerful person today, if you delay the rights of people, maybe the husband to a wife or the wife to the husband. Someone asked me yesterday, how is it possible that the wife does to her husband? The husband requires her attention and then she refuses him. It is bulky. The husband requires the attention of the wife and she deliberately rejects by way of punishing the husband. I have gone into cases like this before amongst people. A woman will be rejecting her husband deliberately, no reason, just to punish him. Maybe she wants something, he has not been able to do it. May Allah protect us. These kinds of sins, Allah brings the punishment for them in this dunya. The rest of the sins, you akhirullahu minha ma sha'a ila yawm al-qiyamah, kullu dhunubin, all sins, Allah will postpone it. Whatever he likes, let me postpone this one. But for al-baghi, he will not postpone it. وَوْقُوْقَ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, the second thing that Allah will not postpone is disobedience to parents. The repercussion will not be postponed. Those who commit these kinds of crimes, they will get the punishment for those crimes right here in this dunya. They may get it at the beginning of their life. They may get it immediately. They may get it later, 5, 10, 15 years later. And they may get it before, shortly before they die. But in this dunya, they will get it back. That's why the world has always seen the end of oppressors. We saw the end of Firaun. Saw the end of Mussolini, saw the end of a German head, saw the end of oppressors. You will see their end. They will see the repercussions. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, kullu dhunubin yu'akhirullahu minha ma sha'a ila yawm al-qiyamah. All sins, Allah delays from it the repercussions for them until the day of Qiyamah, as he wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِلَّا الْبَغْيَ وَعُقُوقَ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. Likewise, disobedient children to their parents, they usually face evil ends. If they had been rich, the wealth will go. If they had been good, the goodness will go. If they had been people of goodwill, the goodwill will go. Those children who are indecent towards their parents, how kati apar rahim, either disobedience to parents or breaking the ties of kinship. So when a person breaks ties of kinship, always, that's his job. Or that he did it once, it's a sin. He did something breaking the ties of kinship. It's a sin. And the consequences, evil repercussions for it, they are not delayed. They are not delayed till the day of death. The individual faces them right here in this dunya. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these two sins, oppression al-baghi and huquq al-walidain aw qati'at ar-rahim, disobedience to parents or breaking the ties of kinship. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yu'ajjilu li sahibiha fi dunya qabla al-maut. Those who do it, ashabuha, yu'ajjilu li sahibiha, those who commit those things, the repercussions will be brought, it will be hastened the dunya, here in this world, qabla al-maut, before they die. That does not mean that it has cancelled out the punishment of the hereafter. It has not cancelled out the punishment of it. But the taste from that evil repercussions, right from their being in this dunya. If we come back to Hadith 29, we'll see that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the same Hadith, the one with which we corroborated his Hadith. It says, ma min dhanbin ajdaru an yu'ajjala li sahibihi al-uqubatu ma'ama yuddakharu lahu min al-baghi wa qati'ati ar-rahim. There is no sin ajdaru an yu'ajjala li sahibihi al-uquba, that is more deserving that the uquba, the repercussions, are quickly brought to those who commit it. Ma'ama yuddakharu lahu, that is in addition to what is preserved for him, is coming back to meet the punishment in the hereafter. Two sins, al-baghi, oppression. Ikhwa, let us try to avoid oppressing anybody. Don't take the rights of people. Allah does not like it. Avoid it. May Allah protect all of us. Don't deny people's rights. Don't usurp their rights. Don't oppress them. Don't take over their property. Don't aggress against them. Don't say you are in power today. If you are in power today and you do it, Allah will remove you from the power and you still face your punishment. May Allah protect each and every one of us. In our society, everywhere is full of aggression. Even a gate man is ready to harass you anywhere, unless he thinks that he wants to collect some money from you. Hey, what do you want? What is it? A gate man. In a public place of work, in Nigeria here, people only shout good governance. They are not even good at their own jobs on their tables. They want to oppress you. Go check inspectors of schools. They tell you to bring things that the government have not told them to collect from you. They can check everything and say, okay, everything is okay. It remains our own envelope. I know a case like this. In the last few days, everything was certified good, except one thing. It is remaining our envelope. Envelope. They say, okay, we can give you this as a gift. Say, no. We want so amount. We have cases like this, undeniable cases. So this is the same person who is shouting good governance. It's an oppression. You drive on the road, maybe police, maybe other agents, You can find cases. Say, park your car. You show all the documents. The next day, say, what will you now give us? You must give us something. Maybe customs, maybe. After checking the documents, there is nothing left for you than to allow the man to go. But these things are common in our society. The one person oppresses the next person according to his power and ability. That's why people always look for those above. They always need somebody above. They always need somebody above. People always need. Why? Because down there, there are a lot of oppressors at the various levels of the society. Oppressors. So let oppressors be aware that kullu dhunubin yu'akhirullahu minha ma sha'a ila yawm al-qiyamah illa al-baghya wa 'uquq al-walidayn aw qati'at ar-rahim. All sins, as Allah likes, He can delay the punishment till the day of Qiyamah, except for oppression and aggression against people. Allah will punish you here. يُعَجِّلُ لِصَاحِبِهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ. The sins will be brought forward. The punishment will be brought forward for those who commit those sins. قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ. Before they die. I think this hadith is clear. We can come to hadith 592. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Muhammad ibn Ubaid ibn Maymun, qala haddathana Miskin ibn Bukair al-Hadda'u al-Harrani, an Jafar ibn Birqam, an Yazid ibn al-Asam, qala, samitu Aba Hurairata يقول يبصر أحدكم القبات في عين أخيه وينسى الجذل أو الجذع في عين نفسه. قال أبو عبيد الجذل خشبة العالية الكبيرة. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله reports this hadith from his Shaykh Muhammad ibn Ubaid ibn Maymun. Muhammad ibn Ubaid ibn Maymun, he is Abu Abdullah al-Madani. He said, Haddathana Miskin ibn Bukair al-Hazba'u al-Harrani. Miskin ibn Bukair. Someone can ask, can we name ourselves Miskin? This is one learned person whose name is Miskin ibn Bukair, and he is Abu Abdurrahman. That's his kunya. We also have Al Imam Al Harith ibn Miskin. Al Harith ibn Miskin was from the teachers of Al Imam Al Nasa'i, rahimahullah, from the scholars of Misra. So this is someone bearing Miskin. Al Harith ibn Miskin, his own father bears Miskin. So you can bear Miskin. What that one means is the one who is absolutely in need of the favors of his Lord Subhanahu. So he is Miskin ibn Bukair. Al-Hadza'u is a shoemaker. He makes ahdiya. So he is ascribed to the job that he does. It is from the ways of ascription amongst the scholars. The scholars ascribe people to the jobs that they do. Like Al-Khayyat. There's Al-Khayyat, Al-Khalifa, the scholar of history. He was a tailor. And so on and so forth. Al-Bazzar, Al-Bazzaz, and things like this. They are all ascriptions to the jobs. Al-Najjar. They are all ascriptions to the job that these scholars were engaged in. Miskin ibn Bukair al-Hadza was a shoemaker. Al-Harrani, this is ascription to the place where he has come from. We can be ascribed to our jobs. We can be ascribed to our places of origin. We can be ascribed to other things too. To the knowledge that we teach, we can be ascribed to that. So he is reporting from Ja'far ibn Burqan Ja'far ibn Burqan is Abu Abdullah al-Jazari. Ja'far ibn Burqan, he is Abu Abdullah al-Jazari, rahimahullah. He is reporting from Yazid ibn al-Asam. He is the tabi'i of this hadith, Yazid ibn al-Asam al-Kufi. He said, Samitu Abu Huraira tayakul. I heard Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. I heard him saying that, radiallahu anhu, يبصر أحدكم القضاة في عين أخيه يبصر أحدكم القضاة في عين أخيه. One of you will be seeing القضاة. The قضاة are small specks, things that are dusty, maybe dust, maybe sawdust. You can see it, or particular dirt. يُبْصِرُ أَحَدُكُمُ الْقَضَاةَ فِي أَيْنِ أَخِيهِ. Each of you, or some of you, will be looking at specks in the eyes of his brother. Your brother has a speck in his eye. You are the one who sees it. Oh, look at this speck on your eye. That is what he goes to say. وَيَنْثَ الْجِدْلَ أَوِ الْجِذْعَ في عين نفسه. لكن ينسى الجذل. الجذل is the tree, the root of the tree. If you cut the tree, there's a root on the ground. That one is in his own face. He forgot it. I will give up. Or the trunk, either the root, الجذل, or the trunk, Al-Jiz'a. He forgets it in his own eyes, or he could find the specks in the eyes of his brother. Wayansa al-jizla al-jiz'a fi ayni nafsihi. He forgot that in his own eyes. Al-Imam Abdur-Rauf al-Munawi rahimahullah in Fayd al-Qadir, he says, كأن الإنسان لنقصه وحب نفسه يتوخى على تدقيق النظر في عيب أخيه. He said, this similitude was drawn by Abu Huraira because the individual, لنقصه وحب نفسه, because of his own faults and shortcomings, يَتَوَخَّى عَلَى تَذْكِيكِ النَّظَرِ فِي عَيْبِ أَخِيهِ. He pays attention. He pays attention to the faults of his brother. يَتَوَخَّى عَلَى تَذْكِيكِ النَّظَرِ. He pays attention, looking properly to pick out the faults of his own brother. فَيُدْرِكُهُ مَعَ خَفَائِهِ. So he, despite the fact that those faults are small and hardly noticeable, he will discover them. Why? He has paid serious attention to their faults. لكن فيعمى به عن عيب في نفسه. But that makes him now become blind to his own faults. And his own faults, and عيب في نفسه ظاهر لا خفاء به. That makes him, his attention to the faults of his brother, it makes him become blind towards his own faults. ظاهر, the fault is clear, seen by everybody. لا خفاء به, it is not hidden. His own attention to the faults of others makes him forget his own faults. رحم الله من حفظ قلبه ولسانه. May Allah show blessings and mercy to the one, حفظ قلبه ولسانه, who protects his heart, his mind, ولسانه, he also protects his tongue, ولذي ما شأنه, he begins to face his own affairs, وَكَفَّ عَنْ إِرْضِ أَخِيهِ. And he holds back, he holds away from the honor of his brother. وَأَعْرَضَ عَمَّا لَا يَعْنِيهِ. And he keeps away from matters that do not concern him. فَمَنْ حَفِظَ هَذِهِ الْوَصِيَّةِ دَامَتْ سَلَامَتُهُ. Anybody who pays attention to this advice from Abu Huraira, دَامَتْ سَلَامَتُهُ, his peace of mind becomes continuous. وَقَلَّتْ نَدَامَتُهُ, his regret will be small, he will hardly regret. فَتَصْلِيمُ الْأَحْوَالِ لِأَهَلِهَا أَسْلَمُ, leaving matters to those who are in charge of those matters, أَسْلَمُ, that is the safest thing for anybody to do. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَى وَأَعْلَمُ, Allah is the Most High, and He knows best, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question I like to ask us all, so why has Al-Imam al-Bukhari brought a hadith? The hadith that says, يُبْصِرُ أَحَدُكُمُ الْقَضَاةَ فِي عَيْنِ أَخِيهِ, one of you will see al-qadat, little dust or specks in the eyes of his brother. وَيَنْسَ الْجِزْلَ, but he will forget the roots. If you cut a tree, what remains on the ground? The huge roots. That one is in his own eyes. Awil jiza, or the trunk. The huge trunk is in his own eyes. He forgot that one. But he's paying attention to the little thoughts of his brother. Perhaps Al-Imam al-Bukhari seeks to tell us that those who go about attacking the honor and the faults of people, they are also from Ahlul Baghi, they are also from oppressors and aggressors, those who go about finding the faults of their brothers. It is very common on the social media now. Everybody is looking for the fault of the next person. Very, very common amongst brothers. Muslims, people of Sunnah, it's very common. I am not talking about that. A person makes a mistake and he is genuinely corrected properly upon his mistake without insult or abuse. You make a mistake, someone corrects it. So, but that, even a mistake like Al-Munawi rahimahullah said, that يَتَوَخَّى عَلَى تَبْقِيكِ النَّظَرِ فِي عَيْبِ أَخِيهِ, he goes on paying serious attention to be able to, he will find one fault, there is one wow somewhere, there is one kasra somewhere, there is, that's all he pays attention to. Maybe in the class, maybe in the article, he pays attention to that. That makes him forget his own bigger errors. In fact, sometimes the reason why he fell into those big errors was his research about small faults, slips that anybody could have fallen into by his brothers. If you correct him now, there is a big difference between an-nasiha and what? At-ta'ir. If he gives his brother nasiha, if it's a matter requiring private nasiha, he gives it to his brother. If it's a brother requiring public nasiha, he gives to his brother. Honorably, in such a way that the person who is giving the nasiha is able to obtain it and take a change for the nasiha. Go and look at it. In 95% of cases, when a brother says he's correcting a brother or giving him a nasiha, the person being given nasiha does not accept it. It becomes a quarrel and a fight in between the two. Why are people so bad? No, people are not so bad. It is because the nasiha was not properly given in many cases. So the person you are giving a nasiha, he sees you as an enemy rather than a nasihun amin. Yaraka aduwan, he sees you as an enemy. He does not see you as someone who is giving a nasiha. Why? Because the approach of the nasiha, the language of the nasiha, is not the language of nasiha. It is the language of at-ta'ir. employing people's faults as a means to insult them, employing the faults of people as the instrument of insult. That is the meaning of what? Atayir. So a brother, two close brothers, young or elderly, would advise themselves and then trouble starts. May Allah protect us. So the reason Al-Imam Al-Bukhari brought this under this chapter heading, Allahu Alam, is that when we talk about oppression and aggression, we usually think about money. We usually think about land. We usually think about a house. But it may include honor too. If you go on to be abusing the honor of your brother, looking for his faults, publicizing his faults, it is also from the aspects of what? Al-Bagh. It's also from the aspects of oppression. The brother did not make a mistake. You said he made a mistake. He did not learn from someone. He said, no, he learned from him. So because he wants to use it as an instrument of insult and abuse against him, it can form from the aspects of what al-dhulmu and what al-baghyu against such individuals. I think we have a little time to be able to quickly take the last hadith under this chapter heading so that we can end this chapter today, inshallah. In that 593, hadith 593, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, حدثنا عبد الله بن محمد قال حدثنا الخليل بن أحمد قال حدثنا المستنير بن أحضر قال حدثني معاوية بن قرة قال كنت مع معقل المزني فأمات أذى عن الطريق فرأيت شيئا فبادرته وقال ما حملك على ما صنعت يا ابن أخي قال رأيتك تصنع شيئا فصنعته قال أحسنت يا ابن أخي سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول من أماط أذى عن طريق المسلمين كتب له حسنة ومن تكبلت له حسنة دخل الجنة. الإمام البخاري cited this hadith from one of the first persons he learned from, Abdullah ibn Muhammad, rahimahullah, Abu Ja'far al-Musnadi. Abu Ja'far al-Musnadi was from the first persons that Al-Imam al-Bukhari took knowledge from. He said, Haddathana al-Khalil ibn Ahmad. Al-Khalil ibn Ahmad, he was Abu Bishrin al-Basri. He said, Haddathana al-Mustaniru ibn Ahdar. That is Al-Mustanir ibn Ahdar Al-Basri, also from the scholars of Basra. Qala haddathani Muawiyah ibn Qurra. Muawiyah ibn Qurra is very popular. Abu Iyas, well known amongst the Tabi'un. He said, Kuntu ma'a ma'qilin al-Muzani. That is this eminent companion, radiallahu anhu. Ma'qilin al-Muzani, Abu Ali al-Basri. Ma'qil al-Muzani was from those companions who took bayah back the Fajr under the tree on the day when Uthman ibn Affan was reportedly killed in Mecca. We remember the story in Hudaybiyah. So he was from Ashab al-Shajara, Ma'qil al-Muzani, radiallahu anhu. He said, Kuntu ma'a ma'qilin al-Muzani. Muawiyah ibn Qurra said, I was with Ma'qil al-Muzani, the companion of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Abu Ali. Fa'amaqo adhan anit-tariq. Ma'qil saw something dangerous on the road. Fa'amaqo al-adha anit-tariq. He went to pick that ham, that thing of hurt. He removed it from the road. So as we walked along, I also saw something too. Baba Darutuhu. I quickly went, before he did, I quickly went to remove that hut from the road for call. Ma'qil al-Muzani now asked me, Ma hamalaka ala ma sanat, yabna akhi. What made you do what you did, O son of my brother? What? Why did you quickly, before I did it, He quickly went to remove that hurt from the road. He called. Muawiyah ibn Qurra replied and said, I saw you doing something and I chose to do it too, or I did it too. Qal Ma'qil al-Muzani said to Muawiyah ibn Qurra, Ahsanta. The scholars say this is evidence. If someone does something good, we can say what? Ahsanta. So let's note it. Someone can ask, what is the proof of saying Ahsant? You have done well. And say, when Ma'qil al-Muzani saw Muawiyah ibn Qurra picking evil hurt away from the road, he asked him, Ma hamalaka ala ma sanat? What made you do what you did? He said, Ra'aytuka sanata aw tasna'u shay'an fa sana'tuhu. I saw you doing something, so that was why I quickly did it. Said, Santa. That is evidence we can say to people when they do something good. You can say what to them? Ahsanta yabna aqi. And now Ma'qil al-Muzani now benefited Muawiyah ibn Qurra with a statement from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While he did what he did, the students did it because his sheikh did it. The sheikh now wants to tell the students that I also saw my sheikh doing that. This time, the sheikh of the person talking now is who? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ma'qil said to Muawiyah ibn Qurra rahimahullah, that the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man amata adan an tariqil muslimin, whoever removes a harm, a thing of harm, or a thing of hurt, or something dangerous, and tariq al-Muslimin, away from the path of the people of Islam. You saw that, my Muslim brother can be caused harm by this thing. One person can be injured from this thing. If you do that, kutiba lahu hasanatun, a good deed is documented for you. This person has done a good deed. It is documented. Fulan, so and so person, a good deed is recorded for him. Waman tukubilat lahu hasanatun, and anyone that tukubilat lahu hasanatun, that a good deed becomes accepted by Allah. First, you have a good deed, you are sure that Allah has accepted it. Dakhala al-jannah, he will enter al-jannah. You have done a good deed, don't worry. And that good deed, Allah has accepted it. You will enter al-Jannah. It means from the means of finding Jannah is to remove harm from the path. Why are we discussing this hadith under the chapter of oppression and aggression? Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he said, if removing harm, that's from the hadith of Abu Huraira. If removing harm from the path of the people of Iman is part of Iman, how about bringing harm to their path? If you remove harm from their road, Allah will grant you al-Jannah. He will reward you with goodness. Kutibat lahu hasanatun. Good deed is documented for you. You have done one good deed. How about when you put harm on their path, then the opposite is documented for you? So it means putting harm on the path of people is from the aspects of aggression and putting harm. You have maybe someone studying master's degree, you're a professor. You now put problems on the road that he can't survive. You make it difficult for him to achieve his aim. It is from the aspects of putting harm upon a person's path. Some people deliberately set traps for their brothers. Sir, don't leave him. You have set a trap for him. Even upon the path of knowledge, people do it. Upon the path of knowledge, they will tell you, I said something. If he replies me, I will do this. I've set a trap. Don't set a trap for your brother. Make things easy for him to be able to achieve goodness. if you set a trap for him, you have placed harm on his road. So don't place harm on the road of the people. From that is those who pour debt. We are in community in the States. You go and pour your own dirty. You go and pour it on the road. Or you don't put it where you are supposed to put it properly. Our religion, Islam, prohibits it. Don't do that as a Muslim. Or you put a stone on the road. You use the stone for something. After what you have used, remove the stone from the road. That does not cause harm to people. Or something happens. Maybe you have a wood extending from your own house to the road. And when people pass by, they hit their heads on that wood. Go and remove it. Don't put harm on the paths of people. Putting harm or hurt or something dangerous on the path of people is from the aspects of being oppressive and aggressive and bringing harm to them. I hope that this is also clear, bi-idhnillah, and I hope that in the next class we can come to a completely different topic. Babu Qabuli al-Hadiya, a chapter about receiving gifts. If you receive gifts, what do you gain? If you give gifts to people, what do you gain? These are the topics we'll be discussing subsequently. But today it's about oppression and aggression against people and the evil repercussions of oppressing against people and aggressing against them. One major lesson we should go home with today is that Allah will certainly punish the oppressor in this dunya. The oppressor will not go free without punishment. And there are various forms of oppression. And that from the ways of oppressing people is to attacking their honor, publicizing their faults, disgracing them, and bringing them harm, maybe put harm on their road. All of these are from the aspects of what? Al-Baghy. And Allah has prohibited Al-Baghy. May Allah protect us all and make us people who will bring khair, goodness to people. May Allah not make us from those who will bring harm and hurt to people. Aba Amir.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Amir. Now, the first question reads, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Shaykh. Please, what is the ruling for someone who had engaged in all these things but due to ignorance? Will the person still face the appropriate punishment, i.e., punishment in this life and the hereafter? Jazakumullahu khair.
Ameen. Wa antum. Jazakumullahu khair. The Quran said to us that innal hasanati yudhibna sayyat. Before that, Allah says, Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. That, even before that, Allah told us variously in the Quran that we should seek to make tawbah. All these evils, if you have committed them before, Inna Allah wasi'ul maghfirah. Allah's forgiveness and granting repentance is so vast. Allah will forgive you. There is no one of these sins that is as worse as shirk. Akbarul kaba'ir. Al-ishraku billah. The worst of all crimes is to join partners with Allah. If a person joins partners with Allah and asks for forgiveness, Allah will forgive him. Not to say if he usurps the rights of people. These things were strong because when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was raised as a messenger, one common thing the Arabs did was oppression, because there was no leadership. There was no constituted authority. It was about jungle justice. Anybody who is able to oppress, oppressed anybody. So, and all of them are the same people we are hearing about that they will enter Al-Jannah. Why? They made taba illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan saliha. Allah says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ سَيُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ إِلَّا مَن تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. So make tawbah and do good deeds. يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِكَ حَسَنَاتٍ. Those your mistakes, even Allah will convert them to good for you upon a condition. Make tawbah and continue to do good deeds. The tawbah is for you to first of all stop that oppression. So if up until today you are oppressed, today, stop that oppression today. The second thing is you must regret ever even oppressing people after knowing the evils of oppression. Stop it. Al-Iqla'u, an example. The second thing, al-Nadamatu, yarhamukallah, al-Nadamatu ala ma fata. The one you have done before, regret ever doing it. The third one, be decisive, have al-azm, be decisive that I will never ever go back to that sin again. Then the fourth one, ask Allah to forgive you. Allah will forgive you. There is one more thing connected to forgiveness in things like this. If you have the money of people you have taken before, go and give them their money back. If you have their car you took over, go and give it to them. If you have a right that they have on you, go and if you have it, give back what you have taken. If you're a government official, you have stolen government money as part of oppression. You have oppressed those who were placed under you. Go and return the money to public coffers. You stole 1 million, you stole 10 billion, you stole 100 billion. Go and return the money. Otherwise, Allah will still disgrace you before you go. He will keep you to wait and you will face the disgrace. So part of Tawbah, when it has to do with wealth or property or honor in issues of al-baghyu, is that you return the rights to the rightful owners of those rights. Return the rights to the rightful owners. If you do this, wallahi, Allah has forgiven you. In fact, that's those things that were documented against you, Allah will convert it to goodness for you. Yubadilullahu sayyatim hasanat. Allah said after this verse, at the end of it, wa kana Allahu ghafura rahima. And Allah is absolutely forgiving and merciful. He will forgive you and show mercy on you again. So don't say I've been doing it. Stop it today. Make tawbah. Return the rights of people to them and don't continue upon oppression. Allah will forgive you. And then you don't have to be afraid again. Many things happen to oppressors. Many things happen. They spend the money they oppress the people over. In some cases, they go back to penury and they begin to regret that they have ever oppressed people. Avoid oppression, brothers. Avoid denying the rights of people. And any one of us, every one of us, look inwards. If it is oppression between a man and his wife, address it, oh man. If it is about the woman to the man, address it. If you're a woman who has been denying your husband access to you, go and address it, make it over. Allah will forgive you. May Allah forgive all of us. May Allah forgive all of us. If we look inwards, my dear brother, wallahi, one way or the other, you see that you are not completely free from this matter. If you have punished someone beyond what he did, it's part of aggression. May Allah forgive all of us. May Allah forgive all of us. Naam.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khair. The next question reads, please, what is the difference between al-zulmu wal-baghyu?
Al-zulmu is a bigger name. It will have al-baghyu inside it. Every sin is zulmu. You see in the Quran, Allah will say, anybody who does this, faqad zalamna nafsah. Look at Fir'aun. Look at Haman. Look at all these people. Allah says, "Wakullan akhadna bidhanbi." All these people, we took them over. We grabbed them because of their sins. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِ حَاصِبًا وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَخَذَتْهُ الصَّيْحَةُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ خَطَفْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَغْرَقْنَا وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمَهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. All these people that Allah destroyed, the people of Hud, the people of Nuh, Allah says they committed zulm. Everything they did is zulm. So every sin, shirk, hukukul walidain, al-bagyu, all of these come under that umbrella of zulm. Every sin a person commits is what zulm. But al-bagyu is specifically when it has to do with oppression, taking over the rights of people and the like of that. So zulm is a bigger umbrella word for sins, generally speaking. Whatever you do, thing you are not supposed to do, it's for zulm. Whenever you do not place something that is inappropriate, it is zulm. But in this case, it's not to take over the rights of a person. So if you take over the rights of a person, it is actually al-bagyu. But it will be called as zulmu because it is something you are not supposed to do that you have done. Is this clear? Zulmu is a bigger umbrella word, and al-bagyu specifically has to do with usurping the rights of people and oppressing them. I hope that it is good.
نعم شيخنا صلوات الله عليكم
أمين وإياب.
نعم. The next question reads: السلام عليكم. Please, does al-baghy include harm one causes to himself due to addiction challenges while he sincerely tries to stop?
Yes, it is from al-baghy. Baghy, oppression, sometimes could be that the oppressor is oppressing his own self. You're oppressing yourself. It happens. It is from the aspects of it. So please stop. Don't oppress yourself. Don't oppress yourself. From the angles of oppressing oneself are those who give to pornography. How can you be looking at something you don't have access to? This is talking about reason now. You can have access to it. Some sisters do something like this too. They go online, they search for food that has been cooked, plantain, banana, all these nice meals. They now begin to post it to each other. Which one of them do you like? Don't make people crave what they can have access to. If you make people, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, in da'u, ad-da'u, ad-da'wa, it is one of the things that make people commit sins, is getting regular exposure to something they can access to. So they begin to think, oh, man, I have to get this thing done. That is why young boys who keep company of bad boys become bad. Not just young boys. If you keep a company of bad people, you become bad. Why? You are seeing it every day. Most young boys in Yahoo, you hear them saying that their friends are now rich. They are the ones that are poor because they are seeing what the friends are doing. They are with them, they buy things, they travel, they do this, they do that. So when people see what they can't have access to, the mind begins to crave it from any means possible, lawful and unlawful. So avoid it. So from the things that a person will be punishing himself is to be displaying, looking at things you are far away from it. You don't have access to it. Why are you bothering your mind? You are oppressing your own mind if you do that. From that is watching pornography. It's become evil amongst the people today. It's the reason I deliberately chose to mention it as an example. From that is use of hard drugs. Drugs. People who use drugs, you are punishing yourself. You are oppressing yourself. You oppress your brain. You yourself. And Allah has warned us, فَلَا تُلْكُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Don't bring with your own hands yourself into destruction. Inna Allah kana bikum rahima. Allah is merciful to you. Why do you want to be oppressing yourself? So use of drugs will come under this category. You are punishing yourself. And this, your body and your intellect that you are punishing, Allah will ask you about it. Allah give them to you for use for some time to ask you how you have used it. You are now oppressing yourself. You suspend your intellect. You become foolish and stupid, rolling on the ground. You say you feel high. Allah is waiting for you. The only means you have to get out of this is good tawbah, like we have described. Big tawbah. Allah said, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. All of you, make tawbah. All of us, myself, you, everybody, look into these matters. Look inwards. I always say this. Look at yourself. Look where it pinches you. And adjust yourself. Instead of just looking at others, yourself. I look at myself. You look at yourself. She looks at herself. And we all try to rectify ourselves. That is the benefit of our listening to these lessons. As we listen to them, may Allah forgive each and every one of us.
Ameen. Ahsan Allah ilaykum.
Ameen. Allah ameen.
Now, the next question, it's concerning the envelope example you gave. It reads, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah shaykhana. Giving them money, in this case, when everything requested has been certified and completed, is it a form of bribery?
If you have all the requirements and then the officials of government who come, this thing happens everywhere. They continue to insist, if you don't give us money, we will never do this. If you don't give us money, then you insist, they insist, you insist. In fact, 2 days ago, I have a report like that. They insisted, I was insisting, they insisted, I insisted, I will not give you cover. The brother told me, they say, we will not sign this thing, we will not do it. So in cases like this, if you give them, you are giving them as an oppressed person who has no choice about it. Because a rishwa, bribery, is what you give to make something that is unlawful to become lawful. A rishwa is what you give. Something you don't have a right to, they now give you. Why? Because you gave the money. That money you give is bribery. But if you are upon a right, and your right has even been taken away, and you give something to be able to take other parts of your rights, the money you have given is in protection of either your honor, or your wealth, or your deen, or your property. Maybe any one of the five things that we must at all times seek to protect, or your life in our religion. So if you give that money to protect your honor, protect your life, to protect the property that you have, to protect your deen and the like of these, it is not a bribery. It is rather a money you give to protect yourself. Like on the road, the cars were checked and seemed to be correct. Yet they say, if you don't give us something. One day, one of them said to me, Alaji, you have been going forth and backwards here. We know that Allah has blessed you. You must give us something. If you don't give us something, you are looking for my trouble. Quickly, I gave him something. Quickly. We know the way they are. You may be coming and he has prepared for you. So for the sake of Allah, we can give these kinds of things to protect ourselves, our life, our honor, our property, our intellect and our deen. When the threat is to any one of these things, you can give some money out to protect yourself. In that case, it is not bribery. But if you give money to a policeman because your documents are incomplete, it is bribery. If you give police money because your documents are not complete, it is bribery. If you give government officials who are on inspection of your facility, if you give them money so that they can mark you good when you have actually failed, it is bribery. But if you give it because if you don't give to these people, you will not be graded right, despite the fact that you have met all the conditions. In that case, it is not bribery. I hope that Arishwa too is clearly explained about Amir.
Naam, Shaykhana, jazakumullah khair.
Can we have one more question from you or call it a day here?
Naam.
The time is
up. I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Naam, there's a question here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Shaykhana. May Allah bless you and increase your knowledge. I told my mother about someone who wants to marry me, and she disagreed due to tribe and religion. Then I waited for some time to pass. Then I told my father about it, hoping he'll be on my side, but he also disagreed. My mother got angry with me for telling my father, despite her response to me. Kindly note, my parents are Christians. Is this considered as disobedience to parents?
I did not hear the question from my mother got angry with me for telling my father.
No, my mother got angry with my mother got angry with me for telling my father, despite her response to me. Note, my parents are Christians. Is this considered as disobedience to my parents?
It does not appear so as you have described it. It is not from the aspects of disobedience to parents. If you are a Muslim, Christian parents cannot prevent you from marrying a Muslim, because you can see that the reasons for rejection are religion and tribe. These two are not lawful things for them to reject. If a woman is a Muslima, and she has a Muslim like her wanting to marry her, it is not lawful for parents who are non-Muslims to reject this kind of a marriage. In fact, they are not even in the place to marry her out in the first place. The woman should go to the community where she lives and look for the elders of the Muslims in that community who are upon knowledge and sunnah. He will help you resolve this matter. The places where your parents may have a role or something to play, they will guide you. The places where your parents don't have any roles at all to play because they are non-Muslims in this matter of marriage, the scholars and the teachers will guide you. But I think you need elders, elderly people who are upon knowledge and sunnah in your community. But for your question directly, you have not acted wrongly at all. Even if your parents were Muslims in the circumstance, you have not acted wrongly at all. You have not fallen under disobedience to parents. Let me say this because of what you have said. Obedience to parents in Islam, it has a limit. Most parents don't like to respect that limit. Our parents don't have a right to prevent us from serving Allah. They don't have a right. Parents don't have a right to say, don't wear hijab. They don't have a right. They don't have a right to say, don't wear a jilbab. They don't have a right. Parents don't have a right to say, don't keep a beard. They don't have a right. They don't have a right to say, don't wear your trousers away from your ankles. They don't have such rights, because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that innama ta'atu fil ma'ruf, obedience is only about goodness, because la ta'ata lil makhluq fi ma'siyati al-khaliq, the one who has been created should not be obeyed in disobedience to the one who has created all things. So when Allah commands us to do something, it is not lawful for our parents to tell us not to do the same thing that Allah has commanded us to do. So let parents know this. Know this for the sake of Allah. Don't push your children to places where they now have to deliberately have to disobey you. Why? You are making them to disobey Allah. Isn't it that it is Allah who has commanded our children to obey us as parents? That children should obey us is a command from Allah. So why do you now command those same children to make a disobedience to the Allah, who was the one who gave parents the right of obedience in the first place? Someone gave you a right. That is Allah. You now want the child to disobey that Allah who gave you the right to be obeyed. Parents must recognize this limit. We parents, we must recognize this limit about our children's obedience to us. We cannot and should not command or compel our children to obey us when that obedience to us constitutes disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope that this response is clear, Abu Amr.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.